I have no further questions depending on any new avenues opened by the chairman's next round.
It's a warning to the chairman. Well, let's go back to the, or let's go to the question of the Western District of Missouri. Both the courts and others have indicated there was an attempt by the prosecution, by the U.S. Attorney's Office, to possibly influence an election there. Actions were taken in violation of the Department of Justice's own guidelines, the so-called Red Book for U.S. attorneys, so as not to influence elections, but yet steps were taken. So let's take it bit by bit. When did you first learn that Todd Graves, the U.S. attorney for the Western District of Missouri, was being asked to resign?
My recollection of him resigning was when I read it in the newspaper. That's my recollection.
Were you aware that he'd been asked to resign?
I don't recall being aware.
When did you first learn that Bradley Schlotzman was being considered to replace him as interim U.S. attorney for that district?
To the best of, I'm sorry.
As we gotten used to it, we gotten used to you conferring with your attorney. That's why we let him sit there. Go ahead and confer. But I'm still going to want to answer the question.
Sorry, I don't recall when he became the U.S. attorney. I think that I recall, you know, sort of being made aware of it in press accounts. I don't.
Not really my question. My question was, when did you first learn that he was being considered as the interim U.S. attorney?
I don't recall ever knowing.
Were you aware that he was going to be put in without coming to the Senate for confirmation?
I don't recall being aware of that.
Okay. Let me give you a copy of a document numbered OAG-45. Can someone give that to Ms. Taylor, please? This is a copy of a December 4, 2006 email exchange between Mr. Sampson and Deputy White House Counsel William Kelly. And it's copied to White House Counsel Harriet Myers. Is that correct? Without going into what's in it, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, in Mr. Kelly's email, he states, "We're a go for the U.S. Attorney plan. W.H. Ledge, White House Ledge, Political and Communications has signed off and acknowledged we have to be committed to following through once the pressure comes." Is that what it says?
That's in fact what it says.
Now, what steps did you take to evaluate the plan for replacing multiple U.S. attorneys before you signed off on it? Because it says the White House Political have signed off. You were the head of the White House Political.
I think my discussing internal deliberations is not appropriate under the guidelines of the letter that I received from Mr. Fielding.
Are you aware that Kyle Sampson testified that you were the head of the White House political operation at this time and you were the person that signed off on the plan?
Did Mr. Sampson say that I signed off on the plan, or did he just say that I was the head of the White House Office of Political Affairs?
He said you were the person who signed off on the plan.
I don't recall him making that statement, Senator.
Did you sign off on the plan?
Senator, my saying I did or didn't sign off on something.
Well, if Mr. Sampson, who testified under oath, if he said you were the person who signed off on this plan, would that be a lie?
Senator, the President's counsel, Mr. Fielding, has sent me a letter directing me not to discuss internal or...
So what you're saying is even if we have things that have been discussed in open session, especially if the finger is pointed at you, you can hide behind this broad claim of executive privilege.
Senator...
Because of your oath to the President.
Senator, I am... not in a place to independently make a determination about the president's assertion. And I am doing the best I can to answer those questions, which I believe do not fall within Mr. Fielding's letter, and doing and answering and not answering those that do fall in the letter.
Ms. Taylor, I think you're doing the best you can not to answer any legitimate questions here. And I think the White House is helping you continue that kind of a cover-up. How is the plan for dismissal of multiple U.S. attorneys shared with you for your sign-off?
Again, I can't, I cannot answer the question that falls within the guidelines of the letter that Mr. Fielding sent me. And I'm, again, and I appreciate your patience, and I respect the position that you're, and the questions that you have and the oversight of this body, but I'm doing my best to try to, again, follow the directive I've been given and be cooperative to you. And I just believe that any discussion of deliberations about, who signed off on what and would clearly fall within those guidelines, Senator.
What about discussions with the Department of Justice? Did you have any discussions with them? Or are you going to say that the Department of Justice is also under executive privilege?
The letter that I have, Senator, expressly states internal and external. And while I understand that is external is a broad word, I can only read that to say that it is external would include the Department of Justice.
Did you raise any objections about any of the U.S. attorneys included in the list for a replacement?
I don't recall ever raising objections about them being on a list.
Did you object to any part of the plan?
I don't recall ever objecting to any part of the plan.
Did you communicate with Karl Rove about replacing U.S. attorneys?
Senator, my communications with Karl Rove would be a clear deliberation.
Let me ask
and
you
I
this.
Just, so I don't think that it's... Yeah.
Have you talked to any reporters about the reasons for the dismissal of any U.S. attorney or the replacements for the dismissed U.S. attorneys?
I don't. The president's letter clearly says, I'm sorry, Mr. Fielding's letter clearly says express communications with reporters, and so I don't believe I can discuss any conversations I
So if you were to discuss something with a reporter, some would assume to give the White House spin on this.
Mm-hmm.
This is, even though it's discussed in public with the reporters,
This
is privilege. Is this a little bit like Mr. Cheney marking secret talking points for his staff to give to the reporters?
Senator, I'm not in a position to make an independent determination about the president's counsel, Mr. Fielding's letter to me. I'm just...
So if you give a statement to the press with something done publicly that we would assume as political director you'd want to make it in the light most positive to the White House, and even though that's done publicly and you're expecting them to follow your spin on what happened, when you're asked about it anywhere else, it's executive privilege.
Okay,
very, very broad definition of executive privilege.
My attorney asked to confer with me. If you would give us a moment, please.
I have a little more now. Well,
let's see if she's going to answer this question.
Sorry. My attorney has informed me that he believes that that question does not fall within Mr. Fielding's letter, so I apologize for not answering it. I don't recall having conversations with reporters about this. I don't recall it.
I don't know why you didn't just say that in the first place.
Well, again, because I am trying to be consistent, because I recognize that the committee, it's not fair for me to answer the questions I want to answer and answer the questions I don't want to answer using this. So I'm trying to be consistent.
I understand.
And I perhaps have not done a great job of that, but I have certainly think that I have tried and think that I've answered them to the best I can based on what I know, based on the letter.
The decision will have to be made by others whether you answered the questions you wanted to and claimed executive privilege so you didn't have to answer the ones you didn't want to. Senator Specter?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am concerned that there may be an effort to pursue a contempt citation based on what you testified here today. I said earlier in this proceeding that I thought you were acting properly in accepting the president's direction since you worked for him in the executive branch.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have been on safer legal ground if you'd said absolutely nothing so you don't get involved in any of the questions of waiver, or if you hadn't tried to do your best, which I think you have tried to do your best, to answer what you think is outside of the ambit of the president's direction, although that's a very hard line to draw, a very hard line to draw. And I think that would be true for the most skilled of attorneys who are practitioners in executive privilege. And I'm going to ask you a few more questions to try to put the best posture from your point of view if somebody pursues this question for a potential contempt citation. You testified earlier today, quote, "While I may be unable to answer certain questions today, I will answer those questions if the courts rule that the committee's need for the information outweighs the president's assertion of executive privilege." That was your statement. So my question to you is this. So even where questions that fall within the president's claim of executive privilege, are you willing to provide answers to the committee in the future if the courts find that the committee should get the information?
Absolutely. I would have to. I'm under a subpoena.
And alternatively, if the courts don't need your rule, that is, if the president and this committee agree upon a compromise, would you then answer all of the questions which were directed to you today?
I would certainly follow the guidelines based on any compromise that was agreed upon between this branch and the executive branch, yes.
I'm talking about a compromise which led the president to withdraw a claim of executive privilege.
Yes, absolutely.
So the question is,
yes.
Then would you answer all the questions?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So, essentially and succinctly stated, you are willing to answer all of the questions directed to you today as soon as the separation of powers issue is resolved, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So that you really aren't refusing to answer anything today. You are agreeing to answer everything that isn't subject to the claim, correct?
Correct.
Okay. As to matters that are within the privilege claim, you aren't refusing to answer those either. It sounds like you are postponing your answers until there is either a compromise between the president and this committee or a court ruling as to whether executive privilege applies, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, I think that does as much for the record as you can. You got a couple of ex-prosecutors here, Ms. Taylor. Senator Leahy was the DA of Burlington, and I was the DA of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
We met at a DA's convention 100 years ago. I've been friends ever since. And I now have a question from Senator Leahy directed to me. And the question is counsel leading the witness? And the answer to his non-leading question is, yes, I am leading the Wiston. And it's perfectly appropriate. I think you've done a good job here today. I think we found out some things. I again renew my request to the president to help Senator Leahy and me and others find a way to resolve this impasse. You are between a rock and a hard place. There's no way you can come out a winner. And I don't think any U.S. attorney anywhere, as the appointee of the president, is going to bring a criminal contempt citation. But if this committee asks for one, there'll be a big, it'll be a big cloud over you, a big smear that'll last the rest of your life. People don't understand. You use the word criminal allegation, criminal charge, and it sticks. So I hope that we can come to terms here without subjecting you to any more travail. Thank you, Ms. Taylor.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Eccleston, and thank you, Senator Lee.
Thank you. Well, Senator Specter, I hope you'll listen to what he said. He's trying to protect you from a contempt citation. That's a decision yet to be made, but a decision will be made one way or the other by this committee. You said that this has been frustrating. And you're right. But it's been just as frustrating for those of us who've been asking the questions as you in answering it. Now, we understand your personal loyalty to President Bush. And I appreciate you correcting that your oath was not to the president, but to the Constitution. But you also have legal obligations to honor your oath to tell the truth and the whole truth. Mm-hmm. And failures to produce documents, and no recalls. Those are very difficult for me to accept as chairman of this committee. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be sending you some written follow-up questions. And you're going to be given the opportunity to review the transcript of your answers. You can make and explain further corrections you wish to make. I'm not, as I said at the outset, it's not a game of gotcha. You have the transcript. You have a chance to look through. If you find that an answer you gave was not accurate, you have a time, limited time, but time to correct that or to amplify it. I do note your answer that you did not discuss these matters with the president, and to the best of your knowledge, he was not involved. It's going to make some nervous at the White House because it seriously undercuts his claim of executive privilege if he was not involved. And, of course, the president has made those statements publicly. He said that these were decisions he did not make. Actually, other senior officials at the Justice Department said that under oath. Your testimony today under oath bolsters that impression. And that really shows, again, that the White House counsel's broad instruction is not only unprecedented, but it's unsound. I say that because if it is unsound, if it is unprecedented, as I've said, it does not protect you from a contempt citation. This broad invocation of the notion of executive privilege to obstruct Congress from learning the truth leads one to believe it's part of a cover-up. So I ask again, what is the White House so intent on hiding? If the president didn't make these decisions, well, then who did? Why did they? Was it Mr. Rove, or was it, as some of us feel, to corrupt law enforcement for partisan advantage, which would bother me far more than political machinations if it's corrupting law enforcement? So we'll continue our efforts. We'll keep trying. Thank you, Mr. Eggleston, for being here, and I guess other attorneys from your office are here. Mr. Eggleston, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
And we stand recess.
Okay. Thank you.